This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Hi, everybody. It's Brian Greene from the Commercial Break Podcast. It's likely you've heard of the show if you're directly related to me or you follow our MySpace page. But I'm not here to talk to those three listeners. I'm here to appeal to people who haven't heard the show. Along with my co-host, Kristen Joy Hoadley, we're taking a deeper look at the topics that are affecting our youth today. Like, who are the people who are dating ghosts? Where did all these pickup artists come from? And why doesn't my preacher have a nicer private jet? We understand that these are the issues you really want to get to the bottom of. The Commercial Break is now available on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Here we go. It's hour two of the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. Hope you're having a fantastic day. As we got hockey man Ryan Callahan coming up at 3:20. So, C-note, Cowboys news of the evening moved to 4:40, but you know what time it is right here. Every day at 3 o'clock, the NFL news of the day. Wolchuk is out sick. You could tell yesterday he battled through it like a warrior, the warrior that he is. He flat out got the job done yesterday. It was impressive, but he needed today to recover. So, send him some love on social. Let Wolchuk and Lucius know they're missed. And in the meantime, let's enjoy some NFL news of the day with the Chief.
This is how I know Wolchuk's really down bad, because we were supposed to go together to see Frank Caliendo tonight.
Oh,
we had
no.
Frank in studio yesterday, rubbing elbows, having a good time. He was spectacular as always. And tonight, Addison Improv, Frank Caliendo, nosebleed seats collision course. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen. But I do believe Carter Freeman is stepping in.
There he is.
Coming out of the bullpen. And he's ready to go have himself a good time.
Do you think Frank's going to point you out in the crowd? Do you think he's going to say something? Oh, my buddies from the radio showed up.
I guess it depends on
he'll
how
do
close.
A green voice, he'll do green eyes.
So I haven't ever seen his stand up. So I don't know how much like crowd work he's doing, that kind of thing. And I would imagine you'd probably have to be sitting real close to the stage in order to get involved in that, unless you're going to make it about yourself sitting in the back row, say something stupid. Ooh. And then all of a sudden, those are the worst people in the
famous
world.
Famous last words.
Oh, my gosh.
Trying to make yourself the center of attention in a comedian show.
Whew. I want to make Joe Milton the center of attention right now, because the one play that just stands out amongst the rest, and I know, Broadus, you watched him, Cowboys trade for Patriots backup quarterback Joe Milton, and you're going to pay him like $3 or $4 million over the next 3 years?
Yeah.
Like, it's a steal of a deal. You give up a fifth-round pick, you get a seventh-round pick back, but this dude is impressively built, very athletic, got a cannon arm, and in the Week 18 matchup versus the Bills, which is the only real playing time he got in the regular season, he's got one play that stands out amongst the rest where he is dodging defenders in the pocket. He's rolling right, and then he comes back to the left, and then he stops and switches and stops, and then he spins, and he goes back left to the sidelines.
That was a touchdown he had that got called back.
Yeah, the play didn't count, but it's one of the coolest plays you've ever seen from a quarterback that didn't count. He threads it in right at the pylon, like 30 yards out for the touchdown on a rope.
Just going to his left.
Yeah, going left. I mean, just one of the coolest plays. Carter's got it on the fan cam right now, Twitch and YouTube. But, man, that play alone, you're like, yeah, I'll go fifth-round flyer on this guy.
Yeah.
$4 million or so over the next 3 years. That's how you do the backup quarterback stuff. And I keep hammering this point home. If Dak gets banged up again, you at least have some level of excitement when you wake up on that Sunday, and it's not Cooper Rush. It's not Will Greer. Here comes Joe Milton. Let's see some fireworks.
4.6 40 time. He can run some. Mm-hmm. And he's a standing backflip guy for his celebrations.
Oh, that's it. That's his move. Yeah. I don't think have we ever seen the quarterback do the backflip celebration? Are quarterbacks doing backflip celebrations? I don't think
maybe
so.
In
we're
college.
Doing, we're doing discount double checks, bro. Yeah. We're doing like what did Dante Culpepper's where he would kind of
The roll.
The roll. That was a fun one.
I mean, you get a flex going every now and then, but you don't see backflips from quarterbacks. This guy can, though.
This is a unique individual.
And he's like, what, 6'2"? It's a big
six,
dude.
6'4".
6'4"?
Yeah,
dude, he's pretty impressive physically. So I'm excited to see him in Oxnard. I think the ball's going to come out of his hands differently than
does.
What I'm used to seeing when we're out there for all these quarterbacks.
Tell me if I'm – maybe if you get a chance to see some OTA clips or something like that. But when he throws, and, you, and Oxnard for sure, tell me if he, when he steps into a throw, like his throwing style is stepping, and then the so he's generating like a ton of power going at the line of scrimmage or going at his target, and I think that's what brings him the ball
the extra
out of his,
velocity.
Yeah, I mean he's his ability. Like I say, it's just a. The way he was able to do that was pretty impressive.
All the highlights I've seen, it's not only a step, but his entire front torso is just flying forward.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Everything is going forward on this guy. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm excited. This is a great move for the Cowboys. Now, elsewhere.
Better than throwing a dart at a
Trey Lance.
A fifth round, well, a fifth round dude in this draft or something that. Like, the Riley Leonard, and I apologize if Riley Leonard's driving around and listening to us. You know,
hey, I hear he's a big tolo.
Good luck to you. You know, congratulations getting Notre Dame the national championship. But you're kind of like this era of Tim Tebow. You're like a really tough guy that wins games, but you run. You can't throw the ball.
A guy who can throw the ball extremely accurately. He's in Vegas now. He's Geno Smith, and he just got an extension.
Yeah.
And you're looking at 2 years.
It's 75 mil, something like that?
85 and a half mil. Ooh, wow. 66 and a half guaranteed. So now the average per year puts him at 15th highest in the league. Assuming Brock Purdy gets his deal done at some point this offseason, that'll drop him down to 16th. Overall, pretty solid deal there, I guess, from the Raiders standpoint. And now it's Pete Carroll. It's Geno Smith over the course of the next couple of years. Get that thing back to neutral. Don't be picking in the top five. We'll say bye-bye to Pete Carroll when we're picking around 18 or 19, and then we'll bring in a young hot shot. Brady can go handpick the next young quarterback and get this thing moving. But that's one of the worst franchises over the last, I mean, forever it feels like. So just get a couple adults in the room at the most important spots. Geno Smith, Pete Carroll. You bring in Ashton Jeanty. All of a sudden, Jeanty, Bowers, Chip Kelly. That could be exciting. You can go out there and win 8-9 games.
They certainly can. What I was thinking is, would you rather be swimming in these waters than Dak, like the Kirk Cousins, Geno Smith, $35-40 million a year, or you add $20 million to it, you get Dak? I don't think the extra dough's worth it, guys.
Well, I'll say if the Cowboys would actually say, hey, we're going cheaper at quarterback so that we can fill out the roster in a way that is much more up to standard when it comes to trying to be a contender, then maybe I could go ahead and budge with you on that. The difference between Dak at this stage in his career compared to a Geno or a Baker or something who is getting much less than him. If your organization was going to say, okay, we have the cheaper quarterback, now we're going to add three or four starters that are legit, now all of a sudden I think you're having a different conversation. But I don't know if that would change the Cowboys. They'd still be bottom barrel free agent people, and That's how they would do it. Still be building basically 100% through the draft.
So they would just have less money pushed into the future of these contracts and void years and stuff like that. So
that's what I would think.
No, I hadn't thought about that. That's a really interesting point. You know, it almost doesn't matter how much you pay your quarterback, because the Cowboys show they're willing to do that dead money deal with players that they do draft.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have, let's see here, a little trivia question for you. This should be easy. Over the last 3 years, which team has converted fourth and ones at the highest rate?
Eagles.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Okay, hang on.
Lions.
No.
Set you up for failure on that one. This is going to be an easy one. It's a trick question. Everybody in the world would have said Eagles right there. Everyone in the world. Even the team who was at number one would have probably just guessed that they weren't and that the Eagles were, because this tush push stuff. Everybody's making it seem like it's the biggest cheat code in the world. But
Bills.
Yeah, it's Bills.
It's not the Bills.
Chargers.
Not the Chargers. Close to the Chargers.
Washington.
Rams.
It's the Rams. Rams at 92% over the last 3 years. Then it's Kansas City. Then it's Denver. Mm-hmm. Then it's filthy. Hmm. So fourth and one conversions, everyone acting like, in terms of the people that are against the tush push. And ultimately, I'm against it too, just because if the defender can't push their guy, why should the offense be able to? But it's not like this thing is some, oh my gosh, like nobody can duplicate it the way that the Eagles do it. But the Eagles aren't even the best over the last 3 years when it comes to converting fourth and ones. Other teams, there's other ways to get it. So it's not like, oh my gosh, this is just unfair because they're batting 1,000. They're not. Other teams are better.
What's the sample size on those other teams? Have they tried it a bunch of times?
That's a good question. I don't know the exact sample size.
I would have guessed New England in the Tom Brady era because he was a master at converting those.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure they'd be right up there for Brady's era. But just thought that was interesting. And you have some other stuff. How about the Cowboys just living rent free in Eagles fans? Did you see the Philadelphia? It's like some type of. It's Upper Darby Township, Delaware County, just outside of Philly.
Yeah.
They had a city council meeting, and apparently the mayor of this particular township, Mayor Ed Brown, he's a Cowboys fan.
Okay.
So he's in enemy territory, and I guess a lot of people don't like him.
Oh, man, just did a flip.
This Eagles fan
You could win.
Eagles fan shows up to city council wearing an Eagles championship t-shirt, and he goes on a 30-second rant hating on this mayor because of the fact that he's a Cowboys fan.
This is what happened, guys, residents of Upper Darby Township, when you elect a Cowboys fan to your government. 29 years of losing with this team. What do you expect with the leadership? This is a Cowboys fan. This guy follows the Cowboys. You see what type of leadership they have, and that's what you put your trust in. Cowboys fan. Sickening.
Wow.
That's pretty strong right there. I am impressed and I am blown away that that must have been concealed. His fandom must have been concealed when he got voted into office.
It was unknown.
And then he let that thing hang a little bit afterwards.
He was pulling a Broadus, not telling anybody where he was from.
Yeah.
Or who he was pulling for.
Yeah.
You know, for self-preservation. And I like that. You know, I think there's a lot of Cowboys fans out there that are very competent. As a matter of fact, we're frustrated with the incompetence in the organization. So I'm offended by that as a Cowboys fan. I think there's many among us who would be great members of city, county, state, or federal government, Brian. But, you know, if it was, it's just when it comes to the Joneses in football. And and the reason is because football on TV became a gold mine that they could not resist harvesting to the absolute max, even at the expense of winning. It's the only reason the Joneses don't win at that, too. You know, but they're really winning. They're really winning at what they do. They've made the most by far.
For their priorities?
Yes.
They're killing it.
They've absolutely dominated this situation. And a city would love to have the marketing and business savvy combined of the Joneses, as long as you didn't, you know, require them to win football as part of your city government.
We have the new Hard Knocks sort of rules of which teams can be exempt or not. And the previous one, they had, if you had made the playoffs over the last two seasons, you didn't have to be a part of the eligibility for Hard Knocks. You could bow out of that.
Okay.
But now they've loosened that up. So it doesn't matter if you're a team that's made the playoffs in the last 2 years, you can still be on Hard Knocks. So there's 20 teams. The Cowboys are not one of them because they are exempt because they have a first-year head coach and they've been on Hard Knocks in the last 7 or 8 years. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the line of demarcation there. So there are 20 teams that are eligible for Hard Knocks this year. But the Cowboys, of course, not one of them.
Okay.
You also have Marshon Lattimore, the corner for the Commanders.
Changed his number.
Yeah, he's going back to his college number, number two.
Number two.
To represent the amount of games he's going to play next year. just the soft tissue stuff.
Yeah.
You know how that goes with him. Mm-hmm. And then how about this, man? We have an MIT. So we had the torpedo bat situation going down in baseball with an MIT guy creating something next level. Now we have the same situation in football when it comes to helmets.
There we go.
So a former MIT linebacker has designed what they're calling the safest football helmet ever tested. There was a handful of NFL players that used it last year. I think there was on average like one player on each team last year wore this particular helmet. But now that it's been tested the way it has, I guess Virginia Tech has the ultimate helmet testing lab in the world. Hmm. And they tested it and it's the best score that they've ever awarded. So this particular helmet is now going to, I mean, they've seen a rise by 1,000%. They've sold like 5,000 of them since the new year. I would imagine NFL players, college players alike will all be trying to get this thing going. But Basically, the process involved dissecting a number of pre-existing helmets to figure out how the weight tends to be distributed, which led to the development of the Apache helmet, made off an impact-modified nylon shell. They got like a 3D printed thermoplastic liner in there, whatever, but it can compress more than twice as much as the foam traditionally used by other manufacturers.
Okay.
So this is a huge thing, because the sport that we love is ever changing when it comes to the safety stuff, and people project out decades from now of like, will this even be tackle football anymore? This is the type of developments we need, to where you have helmets that are securing our players' brains so that we can enjoy football for the rest of time.
So this is called an Apache helmet?
That's right.
And it's an improvement in the material, not necessarily the design of the helmet. So the helmet looks the same.
From my understanding, I don't really see too much of a photo of it. But from the sounds of it, I don't think the naked eye would tell you like, oh, there's some new unique helmet necessarily. But whatever's inside, from a material standpoint, it's much safer. So this is exactly what you want to hear if you want to watch football forever.
Hell yeah, dude.
MIT in their bag right now when it comes to helping out the world of sports. I might be an MIT fan all of a sudden.
I mean, how much of a concern is this for you? If you had sons, they wanted to play football. If I can get my hands on an Apache helmet, I think I'm ordering it. I'm spray painting it up there for the high school, and that's my kid's helmet, right?
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, this would be, unless it's like astronomical from a price standpoint or whatever. Yes, if it's feasible financially, that would be a no-brainer.
What's a good competitive price on a new helmet? What are we looking at? $300?
Yeah. I would think a few hundred bucks.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
And that would be worth it. $300.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Yeah,
I mean, I'll ask exactly. I'll get your price right
for
now.
For 50% reduction in the impact.
Do we want to know how much the Apache helmet will cost us?
Yeah.
Yeah. That'd be nice.
What's the regular NFL helmet cost, and what's the Apache helmet going to cost? It. We got a hockey man coming on. ESPN analyst, a former player, Ryan Callahan's going to join us. Tell us how good the Stars are and everything coming down the stretch here. How important the return of Miro is. And much more. That's coming up next here to the G-Bag Nation and the Fan. Welcome back, Nation. Segment's brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first. 214-817-333-3333. With Frankel & Frankel, there's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. Frankel & Frankel, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys here in Dallas. Speaking of Dallas, Stars host in Nashville tonight. Joining us now, 13-year NHL veteran, New York Rangers in Tampa, 2-time Olympian, silver medal winner with USA in 2010, ESPN hockey analyst Ryan Callahan with you here on The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
Good. How you doing? Thanks for having me on.
Well, it's great to have you. You know, we're excited about this hockey team. Down 4 right now with a game in hand behind Winnipeg with 8 games to go, Ryan. I could tell you. 6 of these opponents are non-playoff teams. Do you think we can catch Winnipeg down the stretch?
Yeah, I definitely think you can. And I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think you play Winnipeg at home next week, I believe. So obviously that's going to be a huge game. And, you know, I think it's important. You know, a lot of people talk about, you know, it doesn't matter if you get first or, you know, home ice advantage. And, you know, you look at this, you know, this central division, and I think it's a huge advantage to finish first just to avoid, you know, in a situation like this, Colorado in the first round. And, you know, obviously, you know, you're looking at Minnesota or St. Louis, it looks like, in that wild card matchup. But, I mean, if you could, you know, miss Colorado that first round, make Winnipeg and Colorado, you know, battle it out that first round, I think it's such a big advantage for Dallas. So if I'm the Stars, that's what I'm looking at, you know, and I think it also gives you a little bit of a push towards the end of the season, you know, something to work towards and gear yourself up as playoffs approach.
12 games or so in, what do you think of the fit of Mikko Rantanen here with the Stars and what we have on our hands?
Yeah, I love it. I mean, you know, it's he's one of those guys that's, you know, that gets thrown out maybe too much for like a unicorn, you know, where his size, his skill, his abilities. And I think what you should be most excited about if you're Dallas is how he produces in the playoffs, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, this guy produces big numbers in the playoffs, has won before. So to be able to bring a guy like that in, I mean, what a move by Jim Neal and you know, Dallas's management to see that he was available out of Carolina and bringing him in. And, you know, usually when you bring a guy in too, there's that little bit of an adjustment period, right, where they're getting used to the team, the organization, and obviously him especially bouncing around a little bit. But he seemed to fit right in. I mean, he has 11 points in 12 games, 4 goals. He's been great so far for Dallas, and he's only going to get better as more comfortable he gets.
Speaking of a guy that is only getting better, how about the youngster Wyatt Johnston and what he's been able to do? How impressed is that? Just how impressive is it with his age and how dominant he's been?
Yeah, I mean, he just continues to grow, right? You don't know where the ceiling is with this kid. And, you know, I remember I did a couple playoff games last year with Dallas, and just watching, you know, Wyatt Johnston in the biggest moments and these playoff games, he always seemed to rise to the occasion. You could see he raised his game. He was competitive. And, you know, kind of similar, like I said, Brandon, as he gets more comfortable with this league, his rank gets more comfortable with Dallas, but as Wyatt Johnston gets older and older, you know, where is his ceiling? Because he has so much skill, and his compete level too is off the charts. You know, and another thing that surprised me too, watching the games, you know, so closely is how good he plays defensively as well. He's not a liability for a guy who puts up, you know, 30 goals, 70 points. It's been very impressive watching his growth. And if you're a Dallas fan, that's something to be very excited for the future and now.
Hey, Ryan, this is a little bit off the beaten path, but did you ever think that you'd see Wayne Gretzky's scoring record be beaten?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, I didn't either. Yeah.
It's absolutely crazy. And, you know, what Ovechkin's been able to do through this stretch. And, you know, you look at it too, you know, dealing with two lockouts, dealing with COVID, you know, relatively healthy throughout his whole career too. Mm-hmm. Had the broken leg this year. You know, it's when he broke his leg, I said there's no chance he's getting it done this year. You know, you thought, you know, you push it to next year, but he came off that. He came right back and continues the stretch that he was on. So it's very impressive what we're witnessing.
It's ESPN analyst Ryan Callahan talking hockey with you here on The Fan. Good young players here with this Stars team, some veterans. Mika with an 8-year deal. How long does Jim Neal keep this Stanley Cup window open?
Yeah, I think you try to keep it as long as possible, right? It's tough, but the cap's going up as well. You have to remember that, right? I think it's going to help, you know, Jim Neal try to keep some of this core together and these guys together. And, you know, I think, you know, a good blueprint is, you know, maybe something like Tampa, you know, what they've done there. And, you know, they won the 2 Stanley Cups, but, you know, even the years I was there, I mean, we went to a Stanley Cup final in 2015, 2 conference finals after that, then they won 2 in a row. So he's kind of found a way to kind of, you know, plug guys in, take guys out. You know, there'll definitely be some movement within the roster, but if you could kind of find that core and continue to add to it, add some young players into it. You know, and if you look at, you know, Dallas's track record of drafting and getting young players, I mean, it's top of the league, right? So they've done a great job there. And, you know, I don't think this window is anywhere close to being closed, but right now it's wide open, you know, and they're definitely one of the favorites to win the cup this year.
Yeah, Ryan, how hard is that, though, for a team the last couple of years that have kind of been on that doorstep? What does it take? Hockey's such a unique sport. It's one of the hardest, you know, championships to win, but how does Dallas get over that hump?
It's hard, right? I think you said it. Out of, you know, 32 teams, only one of them is rising sure. Stanley Cup, right? So it's tough to do. I just draw back from my own experiences, and, you know, like I said, I've been to a bunch of conference finals, Stanley Cup finals, and never had the opportunity of winning it. But so much goes into the playoffs, right? You got to have the luck with injuries. You get some bounces here, there. Your goaltender's got to be hot. Some timely goals, and it's a complete 2-month. Absolute grind on the sure. body. And, you know, all you can do is put yourself in a position with a team in an organization where you have the chance to do that, right? And I think last couple of years Dallas has had that, right? And you look at their past playoff success, and it has been it's you know, you win that game, or you know, in that overtime game, if you won that, you know, you win the series, you know, things like that, injuries. So Dallas has set themselves up for success, and now it's just a matter of going out there and, you know, winning a couple extra games and getting yourself right there and right there to the end.
Good chance the Stars and the Avalanche match up in round one. How would you see that series playing out? What would be your pick for that? And how important would it be? Like, does the return of Miro Heiskanen, does it hinge? Like, does your pick hinge on whether or not he comes back?
Yeah, I don't think it hinges on that. You know, and I think that series is a complete coin flip, right? You know, if you were telling me I had to pick one team, I like Dallas. I really do. I just like the way they're built. Goaltending, I think they have definitely have an advantage in net. The question is, I guess, is, you know, how do you stop McKinnon and Makar, right? Mm-hmm. That combination, if they're so talented. But what I like, I mean, as a fan now and, you know, covering it, everything, I mean, I'm hoping for that series, right? With the, just the storylines with Rantanen, and as we were talking about in Colorado, you know, going back and playing them, you know, the storylines and the emotions of that series. And I mean, hell, that could be, I know it couldn't be, but I mean, that's a Stanley Cup final matchup in the first round, right? Mm-hmm. You know, at least a conference final matchup between two teams. So, but I like Dallas. I do. I picked them to go to the finals this year. I won't tell you who I had winning because I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs, the New York Rangers, but you know, preseason, that's where my picks were. And, you know, Dallas has not shown me anything, only, you know, strengthened my opinion on them of why I think they will be there. And you were talking about, you know, what does it take to win and get over that? And sometimes you have to lose first, right? And sometimes you get that sour taste in your mouth. There's a lot of teams, look at Florida last year, you know, they lost in the finals, come back the next year and win, right? So maybe Dallas has a little bit of that this year.
What's it like playing for a team that you'd been part of for so long with the New York Rangers? You're the captain. It's the big city. You're traded to Tampa, I guess a chance to compete more there, but that had to be a big change in it right there in your career.
Yeah, massive. You know, it's that last year in New York, I was dealing with some contract negotiations. Things went south towards the trade deadline, and you know, I could kind of see on the horizon that I was probably going to get traded, but still was a shock when that happened. And you know, when I got down to Tampa, I had all intentions to go to free agency after I was traded. I was going to be a UFA, and I got to Tampa, and I absolutely fell in love with the organization, the city, the team. I could see how talented they were. Their window was wide open to win. So I ended up re-signing in Tampa. And, you know, to be honest, you know, timing in my life, I don't think could have been better. You know, we had one kid at the time. My wife was pregnant with our second. And life in the city was getting pretty hard with the kiddos. Sure. So, you know, to be able to go to Florida and have a pool in the backyard and throw the kids outside and everything else, it's, as you guys know, in Dallas, it's nice when the sun's shining all the time.
It is, man. And I the tax breaks are pretty good too, you know, and
they're not bad either. Yeah.
Yeah. A little different.
I'll tell you what, when I got traded there and I saw my first paycheck, I had a double look at that one. ran that up to accounting and said, I think you guys paid me too much here. And they're like, oh.
Well, they fired your guy Torch there, John Tortorella. I was wondering if you ever wanted to fire him when he was yelling at you. It looked pretty intense on TV sometimes.
Yeah, he is. But I'll tell you this about Torch. I mean, he's, you know, he comes across that way with the sound bites and the clips you see, but I mean, it comes from a caring place. You know, he's passionate. He wants you to win. He cares about the way you're playing. And I absolutely love playing for him. I mean, I had, you know, came in when I was a young player in New York. He gave me every opportunity in the world, ended up naming me captain of the team. So I owe a lot to Torts, and, you know, I'm a bit surprised they got rid of him there in Philly so soon. You know, he had that team going pretty good, right? It's a rebuilding team that didn't have a ton of expectations and just missed the playoffs last year. You know, kind of had him right in that bubble this year and continued to grow, but they decided to go in a different direction. And I think if he continues to want to coach or wants to land somewhere, I'm sure there'll be a spot for him.
Hey, Ryan, you brought up something interesting, and I wondered if, you know, a lot of times in hockey that we see the coaches maybe get fired a month into this thing. And, you know, it happened though in Edmonton, and, you know, the next thing you know, they end up in the cup final and stuff. Did the players take responsibility for that? Or is that just something that absolutely that you guys in that room know you need to shake it up a little bit? And maybe that's the difference.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit of both, right? You know, usually when a coach is about to be fired, you know, during the season, you can kind of see it coming, right?
Sure.
It's been a month or two, and, you know, you go to the rink, and the mood of the rink's not great. The team's not playing well. You could hear the rumors out there that, you know, things might be happening. And, you know, and then that new coach comes in, and I think it kind of just clears all that out of the room, right?
Sure.
You know, all of a sudden, now you have a fresh start. You have a new coach that, you know, even if it's the assistant coach coming up, you got a coach that now you have to prove yourself to again. Right. And you have to earn your ice time again. And if you're a younger player, you know, now this is a new opportunity for me to, you know, make an impression on this new coach and get more playing time. So I think it does a lot in that aspect. And then even, you know, you're talking about Edmonton, that you know, they when they fired their coach. And, you know, that was a veteran team that had high expectations. And I think more than anything, you know, it wasn't about impressing a new coach. It was a wake-up call in the room. Like,
sure,
you know what, guys, this is probably our fault why we just got this guy fired the way we've been playing, you know. So I think in that situation, it's more of a kick in the butt. And, you know, you look across the stalls and you realize it's on us. Now we have to go out there and, you know, make it right for this new coach.
Well, enjoy this home stretch of the postseason, Ryan. Really enjoyed the conversation. Thank you so much for your insights.
Awesome, guys. Thanks so much. Anytime.
Salute. There he goes. ESPN hockey analyst Ryan Callahan with you on 105.3 The Fan. Olympian, you know, multi-time finalist, you know. So a lot of hockey knowledge and wisdom inside that man's brain. Yep. Okay, Cowboys have a new quarterback. It's Joe Milton from the Patriots, acquired for a fifth-round pick. We're giving it the thumbs up pretty good. But Krusty's Corner's coming up next, man. Where are you taking it?
Yeah, I want to talk about Joe Milton a little bit. I want to talk about some draft things I got in mind. We'll do that next.
Thank you, Tritely, and for Lucius today. It's the G-Bag Nation here on The Fan. Time for Krusty's Corner, brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning, gimmick-free AC repair and replacement. Here he is, Brian.
Thank you very much, General, and thank you very much to Reliant for being a part of this one today. We talked about the Joe Milton, you know, like that there was a possibility that, and I was hearing from New England that they weren't really sure they wanted to trade Joe Milton.
But you told us they would probably take a five if they were going to.
Yeah, and they ended up doing that.
You've been all over this thing.
Dominated the coverage, Brian.
Well, the thing about it was, though, like I say, the people that I talked to in New England, it's the new coaching staff.
Really?
Yeah. It's the, you know, you have a, and what's funny about that, about Joe Milton, when you talk to people kind of around the league, you kind of get this split feeling about him as, oh, is he, a guy that's a problem? And, you know, some people are saying, no, he's a problem guy. And then others are like, no, he's not a problem guy. You know, he's a really good guy. He wants to start. He wants to contribute. He wants to be a good teammate and all that. So, yeah, it's kind of one of those things. You usually you hear something like, oh no, great guy. But this time around, it was, well, maybe not a great guy. But then you go back and check, and it's like, no, this guy's a great guy. I don't know where you're hearing that crap. You know, so I have a feeling that Joe Milton will come in here and make. And do things that the Cowboys want him to do, you know, when it comes to, he understands what his role is or what his role is going to be. You know, as we've talked about here a bunch, you know, potentially, you know, with Dak Prescott, the last three years with the injuries and stuff like that, you know, he realizes that there's going to be an opportunity potentially here.
But you got to know your role as a backup quarterback. You're not going to last long trying to ask for playing time in a situation where they got their guy.
Yeah.
But that's good to know. You know, I think just watching what he's done, it's exciting to get something new in the building. We knew Cooper Rush wasn't going to give you upside. We knew Trey Lance was a lost cause. Now here's another guy that gives you a chance.
Yeah, and you guys were asking me, you know, about, we were trying to figure out, oh, well, how do you get an extra third round pick, or how do you get an extra, you know, how do you get a fourth round pick, and when could you use it on a quarterback? And I'm like, yeah, cool. Let's, you know, if you're thinking about the Quinn Ewers and, you know, people like that, you know, great. But, you know, the possibility of you maybe getting that pick and then using it on a quarterback like a Quinn Ewers or something like that, I didn't think was going to happen. But I wasn't completely, like, I was talking to you guys about, like, guys like Dylan Gabriel and guys like that, you know, that I just couldn't bring myself to think, okay, well, I'm going to get super excited about picking one of these guys in the fifth round. And it's, you know, they've done that before. They've picked, you know, the Stephen McGee's and guys like that.
Oh yeah,
that have been those fifth round guys or whatever, and they just haven't worked out. I mentioned Riley Leonard as another guy from Notre Dame. You know, myself, I was talking about, hey, I'd love to get a chance to draft Jalen Milrow, but I don't think that was going to be a possibility there. You know, Curtis Rourke from Indiana was probably a fifth round guy. I really wasn't totally excited about is potentially is drafting that guy. So to me, I understand why Dallas did what they did and going out and getting this guy. And so I'm excited from that aspect, because I don't think just looking at these quarterbacks, these down the line quarterbacks, that any of these guys are going to be any good. And this kid, when you watch him on tape, and I have to admit, I have to go back and watch some of his preseason tape. You know, I got caught on a couple of podcasts this morning, and I got caught on DallasCowboys.com. I did get to go through the game where he played against the Bills. And I'm going to say this. I liked what I saw with this guy. I like the fact that he has that mobility in the pocket. I like the size. He looked like a guy that when you watch him play, and I was, you know, I got the end zone copy, sideline copy, so I could see him looking at the coverage. I could see where his eyes were when it came to from the end zone copy where he was looking at. And for a guy that does not have a lot of NFL experience, you could see him processing where he needed to go with the football. And there was a part of the game where Buffalo was trying to kind of play him straight up, and he kept making throws. He kept completing passes, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, well, we're not going to allow this to happen anymore. And then so what happened? They started bringing more pressure on him. They started trying to blitz him more and show some different looks and stuff. And he handled that just fine. And I was like, okay, cool. Eyes are here. There's the throw. Eyes are here. There's the throw. And he got the ball everywhere he needed to be. But the arm talent is tremendous with this guy. It is. And there's some questions about his ability with the touch. Just in the one game that I was watching of him, like I said, the touch didn't seem to be the problem. It was the
ball, air mailing it.
The ball placement. And what I mean, the ball placement with the player was, it's a
moving targets.
Yeah. Well, so they're running a route where he's going from looking at receiver to maybe looking at tight end on a check down or right in the middle of the field or like a little hitch route or, you know, something right there. And instead of the ball being between the numbers, it's behind the receiver. And that happened a couple of different times. And I was like going, well, man, okay. You know, people say his touch is really bad. Well, it just looked
it's
like
the timing.
It's the timing of it. And, yeah. And I told you guys what I,
It's hard to teach that.
Yeah. Maybe not playing the whole year. Then all of a sudden you're out there trying to make throws. And that to me was the biggest thing that I noticed, that like where instead of throwing it in front, he's kind of throwing behind, and now his guy's having to turn and then catch it, and then because
that's
there
a
wasn't,
play killer.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of run after catch. Now the one throw he made, and Eric, I don't know, maybe you could go, but this might be a YouTube clip or something like that, Joe Milton touchdown or whatever against Buffalo. But I, like you said, there's one where he's spinning out of there, and it was a holding penalty. The right guard just tackles the Buffalo defender, the official. It's an easy call. He spins a couple different times and throws it at the pylon, and it is a rope, but it's a holding penalty. It comes back.
Special, special play.
Yeah, but he throws one, and I mentioned this, of him going to his right.
And was this the one to Booty? Did the 48-yarder to Booty?
The touchdown.
Yeah.
The touchdown. So, yeah, Booty's coming from the left side. He's rolling right, and he goes to the middle of the field. And you're thinking, like, don't do this. Don't, because you can see him loading up to throw it back inside. And you're like going, don't do this, don't do. And then you're like, oh, my gosh, he just completed this ball. And I think even the Buffalo defenders.
They couldn't believe it.
They couldn't believe that he even tried this throw. But it shows you the type of ability that he does have to be able to move and to be able to throw. But I said this, he does a really good job of stepping into his throws. And I think that's why he has the arm strength that he does, is because of that ability to when he gets set, he gets the snap, and as he's coming forward, you see him striding into the throw.
Mm-hmm.
And when that foot hits, that ball is out, and it's got some velocity on it. So he can clearly make all those throws.
Yeah, young cannon arm, mobility, yeah. Super cheap. I mean, it checks off all the boxes.
I was really impressed with his poise too, because I mentioned they started blitzing him, and he was hanging in there. I mean, there was a couple times where he's like, he couldn't escape, and he just had to hang in there, and he had to make that throw. So the poise under pressure in that game was good. I thought he kept his eyes down the field, because like you say, you could watch the end zone copy, and you could see him kind of looking in that throw he made to the middle of the field, and then the whirly throw where they had the holding call, eyes were downfield on those plays. So I was super impressed with this kid. The tight window throws, the delivery of the ball in the teeth of the rush, the good throws off some play action stuff that they did. So all this stuff was kind of in shotgun formation, the fakes, the RPO stuff. But he was doing the fakes. Buffalo not buying it because New England's got no running game. But at least he was finding ways to trying to manipulate the defense in order to get some of his guys open. And I really like the fact that he was buying himself, second and third chances throwing the football. And so that part of it was very, very encouraging to me, which is much better than these fifth and sixth round quarterbacks I'm watching in this current draft that I was thinking was going to be the guys that I was probably going to select from. And I was not too elated to have to do that.
A lot of good Joe Milton videos here on social. If you want to breeze through them, you'll see him throwing the ball at 1.80 yards while at Tennessee, dorking around on the field.
Yeah. Yes.
At a camp.
He's a big guy.
Yeah.
He's a big guy.
He can
good
throw
feet,
that thing.
Yeah.
You can see him making throws and way down the field. The receiver is catching, and he likes to time that up with a backflip sometime during workouts.
They showed it.
There's quite a few backflips.
The touchdown.
Here.
I didn't see that in the film. Like the next play, he has a touchdown in the game, and he does a back flip. That's kind of his signature move, as you would say. Yeah,
it's fun to have a player with these traits in going into Oxnard. I think that becomes my number one player of intrigue, at least before the draft.
I think better than a Cooper Rush type of
question.
We've seen this.
Yes,
we've seen this. So good for the Cowboys making a deal like this for their compensatory. What are their compensatory fives? I think it's the second to last pick in the fifth round is what they're dealing with right there. That's the one they traded away.
Do they have any fives left?
Yeah, they do.
Okay, good.
They do.
Yeah. Chief work.
And they get the seventh round pick back. I mean, it seems like all these trades that they're doing, they're getting some level of pick in return, too.
That pick they get back from New England is the first pick in the seventh round. Oh, so it's, you never know.
It's a hot commodity.
You never know. I mean, just never know.
What would you like? Thanks for the corner,
you.
Brian.
Thank you, sir.
Brought to you by Reliant Air Conditioning. Chief, what's next?
Well, the program's going to get cut short a little bit tomorrow, 6:30, live from the Globe. Mm. So let's go ahead and hit you with a Thursday news dump. The Rangers have a new season-long promotional item, and we wave goodbye to a legendary truck accessory next in the nation.